So this is kind of like a little bit of a testimony about our church and a little bit of message. Around maybe 2005, I'm not good with dates, you'll have to ask my wife. Pastor Roger Stinger came and was doing a work in Virginia and had a church, and the church crumbled, or so Satan thought. Satan thought the church crumbled. And at that time, I felt a call in my life, but we were still waiting to hear back from him whether he was coming back, and I didn't really feel like it was my position to stand up at that time. But I'm just gonna talk a little bit about Nehemiah. He had a call in his life, and he had permission from the king, and he went. This is Nehemiah 2:11. And after I arrived in Jerusalem and had been there 3 days, I got up at night and took a few men with me. I didn't tell anyone what God had laid on my heart. And Pastor Schaller said one time I said to Pastor Schaller, I said, I don't really have anything new. Everything I preach, you know, I get from somewhere else, from you or Pastor Stevens or somewhere else. And he said, didn't I say that? So, but anyway, he said one time, have a vision so big that you don't dare tell anyone. You know, so like you have this seed and it begins to grow. And it begins to grow. And Nehemiah 2:16, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, for I had not yet told the Jews, priests, nobles, officials, or the rest of those who would be doing the work. And so here he is. He got permission from the king, and he got permission to cut timber. So he had a plan. He knew what he was doing. He took a long journey, and he didn't tell anyone. So he started to rebuild. And it was probably a good year after Pastor Roger left that no one was left at the church, and it was destroyed, or so Satan thought. And the calling became so strong, it was like D.L. Moody said, the hounds of heaven were after him. You know, I don't know if you ever heard hounds hunting, but it's, yeah. There we go. I just couldn't escape it, you know. So no sooner than Nehemiah began to be obedient to the call, mockers showed up. Mockers showed up, Nehemiah 2:19. But Sambalot, Tobiah, and Geshem laughed at us and despised us and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You ever heard that voice? What are you doing? And they began to make progress on the wall in chapter 4. And when Sambalot heard, he was furious and mocked. And then 4:3, Tobiah the Ammonite mocked and said, even if a fox climbed up with their building, they'll break down the stone wall. That's how weak it is. You're not doing anything. So this was, I'm not good with dates, but I don't know if you guys remember. Somebody told us to take the chairs out of here and take them to J.J. Newberry's because they were going to remodel this place, right? So, you know, at midnight, I wanted to hit the road and have my two-hour drive back to Virginia. And I had my chair in my hand, and I was heading over to that door. The hallway wasn't there. I was heading to the door, and Pastor Schaller said, hold on. And he was talking right to me. I don't know who else he was talking to, but he was talking right to me. And he said, this year, mockers are going to come. Spirits and people too, but spirits are going to come. And they're going to say a little fox will knock down your wall. But don't listen to them because you're doing a great work. And that was a rhema for me. That was straight from God. And you know, you can live by that. Man shall not live by bread alone. Like I was living by that. I was like a William Carey plotting for many years, just living with the rhema. And early on, Tapio Savonen, Joe Custer, and so many encouraging people, faithful, different groups came down to visit. Conventions and this body, this church, just if it hadn't been for my wife, my kids, y'all, I would have quit a long time ago. I mean, many times, many, many times. But I had a rhema. I had a word. And Pastor Stephen said a few years back, but Pastor Tomasz Bulacek had a t-shirt with the boxing, "Don't you quit! Don't quit!" And so about 2.5 years ago, we merged with another church, and we've doubled, and then we've grown some more. And so don't despise the day of small beginnings. And a day can be as 1,000 years, right? There's a lot of time for small beginnings. But let me just close Nehemiah 6:1-3. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, and the rest of our enemies heard I had rebuilt the wall. There were no doors or gates. And they said, "Come, let us meet together." They were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to say to them, "I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you?" 4 times they sent the same proposal, and I gave the same reply. And then 6:5, Sanballat sent a 5th time a threatening letter. And he said, 6:8, then I replied to him, "There's nothing to these rumors you're spreading. You're inventing them in your own mind, for they're all trying to intimidate us, saying they will drop their hands from the work and it will never be finished. But now, my God, strengthen our hands." And like, we have a work. This church is doing a great work. This is the most awesome, vibrant church, most evangelistic. It's going into all the world. The Jerusalem is amazing. This is an amazing church. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I don't know whether we're Judea or Samaria and Culpeper, but in the ends of the earth. And like, we are doing a great work. And why should we come down? Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tom. Thank you for not quitting. And thank you to the Smith family and everyone who stuck with you and all the outreaches that went down to Culpeper over the years. And just really happy. And then it's so good to hear his voice and to hear that commitment. Because really, church planting and church growth is, it's not just about being motivated to do something because we read a scripture. Not that that's bad. But there's something much greater than motivation, and that is commitments. That is that you're going to stay there no matter what. I remember years ago when we first started the Silver Spring Church that a woman who had been coming, she said, "Oh, I was talking to another pastor, and he said that you guys are going to be gone in a year." And I said, "Well, I mean, I thought, well, that's possible. I could be gone in a year." But it just made me think, and I said to her, "No, I'm going to die here." I think I said that. That was really dumb. But I'm going to die here. But it turns out that we were quite committed. And another very committed pastor we're going to hear from right now is our pastor in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. Yeah, that is Pastor Jonathan Herb. Come on up, Pastor.
Good evening. Kim, will you stand? I remember my first time coming to church here, and I was brought by Pastor Ray and Brenda Kosiolik, and I looked at the building and I said to myself, "Where the hell did you bring me?" Like, I was shocked, right? And I walked through the back door, and Pastor Palmer walked up to me with the biggest smile on his face and shook my hand and said, "I'm glad you're here." And it just settled my soul. And it was so amazing because it was like we found a home, right? We found a place where we knew we belonged. We are having an exciting time in Boiling Springs. We have continued a series that actually started here on Grace Hour on conflict. And we began speaking there on the conflicted soul, on having a conflicted soul, and how we need to have disruptors to our natural thinking. Let's pray. Father, we just ask, Lord, you bless these few words now in Jesus' name. We were thinking and saying that we try so hard to be right because we don't think it's okay to be wrong. And the true test of faith is it enough to disrupt who we are, to disrupt our natural thinking, to bust our natural thought processes so that we can think with God? We can be challenged with a thought. Our minds can be in a, such a way that we fill the blank. Let me illustrate it for you. If I said, I'm pulling my hair out, right? We fill in the blank, right? What about this one? I'm working my fingers to the bone. Very good. How about this one? He's a pain in the... Wait. Don't answer that one. Don't answer that one. We're in church. But you can see what I mean, right? You can see how it goes, how we can fill in the blanks, and we can do that very naturally in our minds. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? A power, love, and of a sound mind. Isn't it great that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? Sound mind here really speaks of a mind that has been settled in truth. Something happens in your life or in my life, and we can be challenged in our thinking. And yet we can fill the blank in with all things work together for good, right? Like, I'm challenged. This thing's happening. What's going on? No, all things work together for good. No, your grace is sufficient. No, it's not that I love you, but that you love me. No, my sins are forgiven. I don't care what you say. I'm not filling in the blank with something else other than that. We don't have to be conflicted in our souls when we have the truth. When we are conflicted in our souls, though, it can lead to frustration. Has anybody in here ever been frustrated? Yeah, right? We've all probably been frustrated at times. And sometimes that frustration can come from what God sees versus my expectation versus the reality of what I see, think, and feel. I recently wanted to put a deck on the back of my house. And my expectation was the Taj Mahal of decks. Right? Like I had this vision of water fountains and all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And that was my expectation. But if anybody knows me, you know I don't do well with a hammer. I do better with a spatula. So when I'm thinking of this deck and I'm thinking of building this deck, I'm thinking about, well, here's my expectation. But reality is I would probably have a deck held together with Gorilla Glue and duct tape. And it wouldn't come out very well. But God saw a purpose in that. And in that purpose, one of the men that came to give us a bid on our deck had left the Amish. And we got to sit and talk with him for about an hour. And it was such an amazing conversation. Now, if I would have built the deck, I would have never had that conversation. So God had another plan. And God sometimes have another plan in our lives. Conflicts aren't necessarily a bad thing because they can break patterns of thinking, but it's what we do with them that's important. Spurgeon said this, conflicts bring experience, and experience brings that growth and grace which may not be attained by any other means. Sometimes we have to go through the conflict, and then we apply grace to that situation. The promise of God will always be greater than the problem. Right? Like, the problem is temporal. My problems in my life right now, if I pass away, all my problems go with it. Right? The promise remains. The problem is temporal, but the promise is eternal. It is yea and amen, is forever settled in heaven, and it's not changing. In 363, Julian, the emperor of Rome, invaded Persia. And after crossing the Tigris, he had the ships that they came across in burned. Why? He set a mindset in their minds that we're not going back. We're continuing forward. And it's such a beautiful mindset to have. What we hear and believe in here ends up who we are out there. And I was thinking this morning about how, you know, you can have a 10-lane highway in our minds sometimes, and we can be thinking this way and that way, right? And all these lanes really need to come down to one toll booth, and that toll booth needs to be called the cross. And if all that comes down to that one toll booth called the cross, we can begin to think with God in the moments of life and not live conflicted in our souls, but settled. In closing, Psalm 119:89 says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Herb. I just got one question, though. What's wrong with saying pain in the neck? You know, I mean, do you think that our mind is that low, really? Is that what you're thinking? That was beautiful. Hey, you know, church planting can be frustrating in some ways, right, guys? Church growth can be frustrating. Like you think you've gone 10 steps forward, but it feels like you've gone 20 steps backwards sometimes. But then you have those moments, right? Those moments where it's all worth it. It's amazing. It's all worth it. And we're going to right now have another pastor come up, but he's going to come up for the offering. And then we're going to have a song after that. And that is Pastor Carl Gale from Wilmington, Delaware. Let's give him a hand.
Wow, boy, that's amazing. Boy, you people are amazing here. I just love it that to be able to stand here in front of you tonight, it's quite an honor. But the other part about the honor is the humility. And that's what I want to talk about, is the humility in church planting and what God has done, that you're giving to our ministry when we first started in Wilmington. The fruit of it is amazing. It's amazing. I can't even believe that I'm standing here speaking to you tonight about what you've done behind the scenes and how we started our ministry in Wilmington, Delaware. We started it like in a miracle setting. It was one day I was seeking God and I was lost. And this is a true story. I was lost. And God woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning. There's that number again, by the way, guys, 2 o'clock. It's a good number. And he says, go to Baltimore. And this was after some years. And Pastor Jason Moore, he was in Wilmington already. And I did not know he was in Wilmington planting a church. But I come to Baltimore, obedient to God in humility, broken, lost. But I found Jesus Christ here. And I found the love of God here. And you loved me. And I didn't know that God had a call on my life, because I'm running from God, but God's calling me. And when he called me, I just said, yes, Lord, whatever your will is. And that was in 2016, and here we are, 2024. So now we have a great ministry in Wilmington. We have a Bible college. We have about 30 students in our Bible college. We have outreaches 3 to 4 days a week. We're in the streets. I spend maybe 10% in the pulpit, but 90% is in the streets. That's where I get my messages from. And it's incredible to see the new visitors coming. We're in a 52,000 square foot building, 13 classrooms, fellowship halls. We can grow for the rest of this door race until Christ comes back in this building. We have a Christian high school we are indoctrinated in. These two guys in the front, they're in the high schools. One's in the high school and one's in the elementary, Gian and Brian Shin. Give those a big hand. And the other thing I wanted to say was, coming to Baltimore, you know, I made a commitment. I like that word, because Baltimore really is the backbone of our ministries, not only locally, regionally, and nationally. And you're backing here, your seed that you planted in Wilmington. You know, it brings me back to this place where we come down to Baltimore at least 25 times a year. Amen. Amen. 25 times a year, we are going to be here. We're going to fellowship with you, and we're saying thank you so much for opening the doors for us to come. And then I'm going to get ready to go into the offering here. The mighty hand of God is on our ministry. And the humility is to stand here and to say to you that I've done nothing other than humble myself and trust the Lord by faith that what he would do through this vessel, that it would be such a place where when I would stand here, I would give God the credit for all he's done. You have not withheld anything from giving. You don't have pride. All I see when I come, all I see is great humility, and I begin to want that humility that you have, that I would lay down my life and be humbled by the grace of God, right? So we think about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, you know, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt you. And so we can see by your giving, the mighty hand of God in Wilmington, he has exalted Wilmington, Delaware, to where we could stand here today and says, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And so I want to thank, you know, that we have a faithful team of men and women. We have the people, we have the community, we have the building, but we also have Jesus Christ there. Amen. And so I'm going to close with this verse. And it's first Chronicles 29, verse 12. It is true. It says this. It says, both riches and honor comes from God. And he is the ruler of all things. In his hands are strength, power to exalt and give strength to all. And so I want to thank you, Baltimore families, pastors, for strengthening us in Wilmington in your giving, your prayers, your love, and your support. That strengthens us. So whatever you give it freely to God in humility. And your giving, God will exalt you for the labor of your love you've showed towards him. So let's give in the offering and watch God's hand in your giving. So let's make America great again by sharing the Bible, building strong churches, and giving in the offerings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our next speaker is kind of local. I think you kind of know him. His wife is Angie over here, and his son is the bass player. And Pastor Wright was, years ago, I think it was like a couple of years after I started the church, or I was, you know, starting the Sunday morning services in Silver Spring. And we had my son's high school band helping us. It was pretty cool. John Clark was there for a couple of weeks, and then they kind of moved in and took over. It was Paul Andrelonis, Kim Shibley Jr., Gavin Pereira, and then David Wright. David Wright's over there. And it was amazing. We had a really great band. They were led by, you know, they also had the jazz band up here. And it was just awesome to have them as our band. And I remember when Pastor Wright said he was going to start a church in Havre de Grace, I got a little nervous, you know, because David is his son. And I was talking to him one day, and I said, hey, Pastor Wright, I said, I'm so happy you're starting a church up in Havre de Grace, but keep your hands off my bass player. That's basically what I said. And he honored that pretty much. Not so much, but I'm sorry. The Wrights are a very musical family, by the way. But let's welcome Pastor Bruce Wright. You remember that?
Thanks, Pastor. I mean, I had my hands on the bass player for 18 years. So, actually, my wife did, but... Wow, great night, isn't it? Yeah, amen. Could anyone... No, let's all stand. I heard Pastor Herb say that, and it seemed like to blow past people's ears. But let's all stand, please. Thank you. And we'll start right there. And now, if you have been in this church less than 30 years, less than 30 years, could you please be seated? Less than 30 years. The funny thing is, those of you that are standing, you need to be seated. You cherish that. Look at this crowd here, okay? Look at this crowd. That's amazing. 30 years. 30 years. Yeah, give yourself a hand or give them a hand. Okay? You may be seated. Thank you. I'm going to come out of Psalm 71 because I think it speaks to what we just witnessed with those of you who have stayed the course, stuck around, quit maybe 100 times, but stayed for the 101st time. Something like that, yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. And thank you for this time tonight where we can acknowledge and celebrate and be together. Bless the few words that we'll share tonight. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. In Psalm 71 and verse 9, they'll put that up on the screen shortly, but for those of us who have been around, why are you laughing? Those of you that, you know, sat down first, you'll get to this place, so pay attention. But it's very interesting that I was considering the ministry, but more than that, I was considering Jesus Christ and my relationship to him personally. And that's essential. That is indispensable. But where did that lead me? It led me here. It led me, and I remember driving an hour and 45 minutes from Boston to South Berwick in the car, principally by myself. I tried to get some others to go, but they said, no, it's too far away. And finding myself going to a church in Maine, and the worship service principally was country western music. And so I knew I wasn't there for the music. But I was insatiably hungry for to be taught the Word of God. And then when I found that that local church in South Berwick, Maine had a Bible college, I thought, a what? You know, somebody's going to be able to teach me the Bible? And that has been the anchor for my relationship. So now, what did that teach me? It taught me that my vertical in my personal life and walk before Jesus Christ is essential. But it also taught me how important it is to be hid in a local assembly. I mean, you know, many of us heard baked in a loaf. Yeah, that so exemplified the reality of what God did, you know, not what I could do. It wasn't for me to then look and say, you know, I like this church because I like the music, or I like, you know, the people here or the building here or any of those things. And it's nothing that if you have those things, that's okay. But essentially, I was in the midst of a group of people who loved Jesus Christ and loved his word. And so, throughout the decades, and it used to be, we used to say throughout the years, but now it's throughout the decades, that we have been together, that we have walked. I remember being up in Selbrook, and Pastor Schaller was of the first graduating class from Stephen's School, the Bible. And so we would hear stories, because he was already on the mission field. And that so inspired us, but it didn't inspire me because people were going. What inspired me was people who stayed and continued. And as we heard, you know, Pastor Carl saying, so that now Wilmington gets this life decades later. And it hasn't changed. It's the same. And so, here in Psalm 71, well, verse 17, we want to look at the context. And David is saying something quite interesting here. He says, "Oh God, you have taught me from my youth." Now, it's kind of interesting, but I graduated from Bible school, got ordained, and got married the same week. That's so I wouldn't forget those dates. You made it real easy. But I remember, and you know, honey, amazing that we got married and we set out, we spent our honeymoon with an affiliate church of this ministry. Yeah. Just where are you going to go for your honeymoon? Well, this place called Lake Elsinore. Where's that? You know, so forth. But, and then I would say that I've had the privilege of going to different continents, not to see the Eiffel Tower, not to see the Nile, not to see some sort, but to be with the body of Christ. That got me there. And if you were to tell me early on that I was going to be able to go to these places through conferences and mission trips, I'd have said, it's not going to happen. I got too much going on in my personal vertical life with God. But the expansion, the vision, and we were taught that. We were taught that. Well, he says, God, you have taught me from my youth. But then I want you to look at verse 18, please. Now also, when I am what? Old and gray-headed. Oh, God, forsake me not. But there's a purpose clause in this verse, and I want you to see it so very clearly. Because those of you that remain standing 30 years in, it ain't over yet. This promise, and I thought, God, you're so good because you taught me from my youth. But here we are decades later, and you still have a promise for me. You still have a promise for us. And what is it? That you will not forsake me. No. You will not forsake me until what? I have showed your strength unto this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. There's an interesting Hebrew word here. The word strength here is not talking about physical strength or an ability to hold on to something. It really is describing a purpose, the plan of God, we could say. That the plan of God was so strong, it kept me when I wanted to leave. The plan of God was so strong as it kept me viewing the cross. It kept me oriented to the Bible, to the Word of God, and with multitudes of distractions and things that do come our way, and you know, family and finances and health and all of these things that tend to want to cause people to draw a line, and they say, I've come this far and I can go no further. Well, the Bible's telling us God's strength is for us and is working. And then it says, and your power to everyone that is to come. Does that sound like future work? Yeah, it does. But the interesting thing, this word power, actually, the root of this word for power is hero. What? Yeah, hero. What's a hero? It's not a comic person. It's not someone with supernatural powers. A hero is someone that's very courageous. And for you to have been steadfast, for you to have stayed the course, for you to remain hid in Christ, for you to remain baked in the loaf, share, reveal something to a generation that is yet to come. That church is not a fad. It's not a fashion. It's not something I'm going to try out. Yeah, I remember one time a person told me, they said, are you still a Christian? Are you trying that out? I said, if I was trying it out, you know, I would have outgrown it because I didn't change my size here, you know? No, we're not. We're triumphing it out. Yeah. We're exhibiting that the strength of God to hold us makes, and he's the hero here. Amen. He is the hero, and he's been faithful. So the generation to come, you know, I love this in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36 says, David served God in his generation. Now, you know, that's pretty powerful. What does that mean? It meant maybe during his physical lifetime, he wasn't perfect, but he was persistent. He it wasn't that he didn't sin and didn't muff up, but he just kept after and he learned how to get God's heart on matters. And that's what I want to learn in my old age and gray hair. That there's a purpose, there is an intent, there is a provision from God. Physically, I'm not maybe able to do what I used to do, and that's okay, but spiritually, we still got the call. And those that will come, I don't know, you know, people want to say Jesus is coming tomorrow night. Well, I don't think, you know, that's bad, you know, eschatology. He could come tomorrow night. But they're saying they just want to get out of trouble. That's what they're saying. And I don't want to stay here a day longer than I'm supposed to, but I want these kinds of promises. And then David says it again in verse 18 of Psalm 71. He says, verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. Is my strength going to fail? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good day when I can get out and put my slippers on. Used to be tied up my shoes, but I can't get down that far anymore. You know, it's like the floor is very far away. But in spite of that, and I think that for Angie and for all of us in Habit of Grace, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because, see, there'll be the time when we will transition from time into eternity. And then those that remain will be talking like I'm talking to you right now. Okay? And what you will say will be what I'm saying right now, is that there's such value, such worth, such investment, such strength from God for you to never quit and to follow on with Jesus Christ. And let's see what God will do in these crazy days, huh? In Jesus' name, amen.
2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That's an interesting passage. The Apostle Paul, you could say he's the love apostle in many ways. You know, John Huss, if you all know your history at all in terms of the church history, in terms of the persecution, John Huss was before Martin Luther's Reformation, he was a Catholic priest in Bohemia, which would be the modern day Czech Republic. And he began to read the Bible. And as he read the Bible, he realized that many things that he had learned and taught were not actually from the Bible, but they were from the church's teaching. But they didn't line up with what the Bible says, especially the papacy. He didn't quite figure out, you know, couldn't understand why there would be a pope, because the church's stance at that time was that the pope had all the authority. And what John Huss realized, no, the word of God has the authority. And the king of Bohemia protected him for a certain amount of time. But then after that, when he started to attack the papacy, he couldn't protect him anymore. So he was called off to Constance, Germany. And his safety was guaranteed, you know, and it wouldn't be a problem. Come and talk to us. And he was excommunicated. But what ended up happening was that he went to their place, presented himself to the courts, and they had this mock trial. And then after the mock trial, when he refused to renounce his teaching, he was burned at the stake. This was amazing. This was in the 14th or 15th century. And his last words were these: "Lord Jesus, I endure this cruel death for you. I ask you to have mercy on my enemies." It's interesting. That was John Huss before, a couple hundred years almost before Martin Luther. And the interesting thing is, when you look at the first verse that I read, or that verse that I read, that we're constrained, the love of God constraineth us. John Huss himself was constrained by truth. He was compelled to tell the truth. He would not say anything different. He couldn't. He wouldn't. And one of the things that I notice, and one of the things that I really appreciate about our church and about our pastor and about the disciples of our pastor, who are these men, and many of you also, the disciples who take this word of God, take this truth that we have learned about the love of God, and we can't help but spread it. We can't help but share it, because we were constrained by God's love. And you, well, what does constraineth mean? That's Old King James. But it means simply to be compelled. To be compelled. And you think about that term compelled, or that word compelled, it kind of means that we have to do it. We can't help but do it. It also could mean forced. It also could mean coerced. It also means obligated. It also means hounded by conscience. Hounded by conscience. We're constrained. And I would say, one of these things that I spoke about earlier about commitment, the reason that people are committed, and that our pastors are committed, and that our churches are committed, is because we have been taken over by the love of God. We've been taken over by the Spirit of God and His wisdom. It's really fantastic. And we don't love people because we have to love them. Jesus said in Luke 6:32, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? What credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." And I gotta say, I do love when people love me. It's kind of nice. And I find it very easy to love them back. But the key is this, that we love people who do not love us. We love people who we do not even know. It's interesting, these things that we learn, these things that we say, these things that we believe, these things that we mean. We have been changed. That's the bottom line. If you are a Christian, if you've been born again, you have been changed. Ezekiel 36:26, the Bible says that you have been given a new heart. that your heart of stone has been taken away, and now you have a heart of flesh, so Pastor Jabelli can't help but go to Africa. Pastor Hadley can't help but go to South America. Pastor Duke couldn't help but go to Pennsylvania. We can't help it. Pastor Dwayne could not help but to go to Africa and then to go to Harold Harbor. You know, what? Where is that anyway? It's down there in Anne Arundel County, Harold Harbor. Because we're constrained. Because we have this love of God inside of us, and I gotta get it out. I gotta get it out. We're constrained. This is what it means. You know, I think that people don't understand. I think you do, but I'm just exaggerating because I'm a preacher. But I think that we don't understand sometimes that when we are born again, that something new is inside of us. You have a new person inside of you. You're not that old guy anymore. You might still like football, and you might still like baseball. You might even like the Red Sox. I don't know. But there's something inside of you that has changed. And the more that you are in tune with the Spirit of God, the more that you are attuned with the love of God, then that love begins to grow inside of you through the Holy Spirit, and it bursts out of you. I'm telling you, it does. I had such a good time with Eber Fuentes from my church on Saturday. We, just the two of us, we went out to this kind of dead area near our church in downtown Wheaton, but we had a ball. We just walked around, and I listened to him witness his Spanish to some people. Then he was kind of like talking to, you know, he was listening to me talk to these county workers that were out there. We were witnessing to them and making friends with them and talking to them about our church and all that. But it was just so amazing. We walked away just lifted up. We walked away edified. It's amazing, right? When someone believes, they are changed. Paul, the Apostle Paul, have you ever read Acts chapter 9? I mean, this guy made a 180-degree turn. He went from persecuting these guys to being persecuted himself to preaching the gospel. Amazing. Paul's purpose in his ministry later would be threefold. He wanted to show the glory of God. He wanted to help perfect the saints, if you will, sanctify the saints. And then, of course, the salvation of sinners. The 19th century preacher, he was already mentioned today by Pastor John Herb, Charles Spurgeon, said this in one of his sermons. We must devote ourselves to the holy cause. May we live to see churches made up of people who are all set on one thing, who are all set on one thing, and may those churches have ministers who are fit to lead such people because they are mastered by the same sacred purpose. That's amazing. That's what I want for my church. And that's what I think all of these gentlemen and all the ladies that help in the churches and work in the churches and teach in the churches and in this church, this is what we want. We want people to have that understanding that yes, you can have all kinds of fun. You can do all kinds of great things, but there is one thing that really holds us, and that is this love of God. We are constrained. We are compelled to love people, to love people. And so I'm so happy that Pastor Schaller wanted to have this night tonight and that we could kind of just get to know. Yeah, let's give him a hand. He's amazing. Just so that we could get to see these gentlemen from all over the place, from Boiling Springs, Harold Harbor, Forest Hill, Richmond, Virginia. Actually, you don't live there, though, but Richmond, Virginia, Saturday nights. It's amazing, isn't it? All these different people, all these places, Glen Burnie, Maryland. You know, it's awesome. It's awesome. And I'm sure I forgot Manchester, York County, Pennsylvania, right? York City, Pastor Craig, Pennsylvania. It's beautiful to see, because those are hard places also. It's not like you're walking in there and, oh, we can't wait to go to your church. No. You know, people are compelled by the love of God that is in you. So I'm really excited. Hey, tonight when we close, I think the band's going to come up. We're going to do a final song. Come on up, guys. And we're going to close right now, unless you wanted to say something, Pastor. But we're going to have a wrap. Is it going to be outside? Yeah. I'm hoping that all these men can come and you can meet them and hang out and grab a coffee or something and go to the wrap, and they'll be able to say some things. You get to meet some new people, and it's just awesome to be here with you tonight. I'm very honored to be part of this ministry. God bless you.
Hey, this is fun, huh? Wow, this is fun, man. Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jim. This is the benediction. Okay, so every message we heard, wasn't it good? Pastor Tom in Culpeper, Nehemiah, do you remember it? Yes? Yes, the wall, building the wall. Oh, wow. The mocking, the rhema, the faith. Wow, it was good, wasn't it? I want to say to these men, thank you so much for your ministry. Isn't it good? Let's give them, let's pray for them. Pray for them, their ministry. And hey, maybe just sit for a second if you want to, because, you know, my prayer goes a long time. Okay, so these men, and you saw in the pictures, just the Spirit using them to say words, and it helps people. Thank you. It helps people. They're going to move on. They're going to grow. God's with you. Thank you. That was so good. In a lot of these, a lot of places, isn't that beautiful? It's amazing. I was thinking of three other new places just to pray for. That, well, first of all, did anybody jump in and help these men on a weekend? Or we were in Annapolis yesterday, and this woman said, we just moved here. We're looking for a church, you know. And we want to come up to Baltimore. And that was beautiful. Like, we had a lot of fun. Where were you, Pastor Shibley? Wheaton? Okay, Wheaton, Maryland. So they had a ball. We had a ball. We got in the van with Randy Rollins, and we just had a good time in Annapolis. That was awesome. So then the second place, Westminster. That would be a great place, you know. And pray for that. And then Philadelphia is another one. So just thinking about the small groups of people getting saved, people being discipled. Thanks for sending people to Bible school here. I hear about Boiling Springs and how hospitable the people are and how you folks are so loving, and the word and the love, it's so beautiful. So just thank you, Lord, for that. And then lastly, no, I won't say it. Hey, what the Olympics in Paris and the ungodly thing that happened over there, how about that? Anybody know about that? The ungodliness of the age, the ungodliness in the Olympics. It's like, are you kidding? The ungodliness of our culture, the ungodliness of all of it. And guess what? We're not part of the ungodliness. What are we part of? The godliness. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Walk in wisdom. It's coming at you. Sodom and Gomorrah is pushing on the door. They're pushing on the door. They don't like you. Sodom and Gomorrah is pushing on the door in America. They're pushing on the door. They can push all they want. We've got angels on our side. And better be careful. You better be careful. We are walking with God. Let's walk with God and do His will. And God will take care of us. Amen? All right. So with that said, let's pray. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray we could be salt and light. We pray we could be godly, wise. We pray we could have authority in our ministries to see people leave the ungodliness, leave drugs and personal problems that are dangerous in the heart. Pastor Herb said it in his message, the conflict of the soul. Lord, bless these men. Bless us with prayer, a lot of prayer. Bless us multiply. Bless us on the streets. Bless us on the phone. Bless us in the pulpit. Bless us, Lord. Bless our Bible school. Multiply, multiply, and bless our country. And in parts of the world, we pray. Bless us, God, all the way to China and in all parts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, one other thing. Salvation. Anybody here not saved? Raise your hand. You're not saved. You're not saved. Raise your hand. This is an invitation to you. Okay, here it is. If you're not saved, we're not joking around. By the way, Pastor Don Soprano went home to be with the Lord, right, Pastor Butch? So he was one of the old timers Pastor Wright preached about. And now he's with the Lord. How about you? Are you ready to go? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? It might be tonight. You're going to face God tonight, huh? Are you ready to go? Come on. Are you finished up, Pastor Bell? You're finishing up tonight or not? Now he said, no, don't even talk like that. Okay. All right, so if you're going to face God, are you ready? Are you saved? Are you born again? We had a great face-to-face service today. Last-minute salvation. Great story. Beautiful. About one brother that passed last week. And he was 71 or 70 years of unbelief. And his mom and dad, Al and Jackie Turmel, prayed for him his whole life. At the end, when he got sick, he turned to Christ. Amazing story. Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, you're all praying that I will finish. Okay. Listen, I got to finish. The guys over here, they're like, okay, Pastor, okay, let's finish. Wrap it up. Okay, here it is. Are you born again? Last minute, come to Jesus. Would you say this prayer? Lord Jesus, I put my trust in you and save me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.